his feet we saw, Moses and Elijah speaking, all the prophets and the law, shout through them their joyful greeting. Praise and glory, praise and glory, praise and glory to our Lord. All the prophets and the law, shout through them their joyful greeting.
With a cloud of glory came, God proclaiming in his thunder, Jesus as the Son by name. Nations cry aloud in wonder. Praise and glory, praise and glory, praise and glory to our Lord. Jesus as the Son by name. Nations cry aloud in wonder. Jesus is the chosen one, living above every nation. Hear and heed him, everyone. Sing with earth and all creation. Praise and glory.
St. Stephen's, welcome to worship today on this Transfiguration Sunday, where we remember the revelation of Jesus Christ as God on the mountaintop, where he met with Elijah and Moses in the presence of three of his disciples. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want to give a shout out to those people worshiping in care facilities with us today. Hello to all of you at the gardens. Hello if you are tuning in from Stanford Place and from Qualicum Manor. We really are so thrilled that you can join us here. Let's join together in the call to worship. Great is the Lord, exalted among the nations. Mighty is the Lord, King of heaven and earth. Holy is the Lord, beyond our understanding. Let us worship our God and King, and let us light the Christ candle as we welcome him into the places where we are. Lord God, we wish to see Jesus. By your Spirit's power, give us eyes to see his glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. And let's pray together. God of power and wonder, we are awestruck by the glory of your presence. We rejoice at what we can see. We marvel at what we cannot see. You dazzle us with your brightness. You overshadow us as with a great cloud. Loving, protecting, challenging, nurturing, you strengthen and transform us. May we love and serve you in all that we are and do. Glory be to you. Amen. Friends, in his mercy, God meets us where we are, to hear the things that keep us from being at one with him. Let's come to confession together. God of transfiguration, you meet us in the ordinary as well as the extraordinary moments of life. We seek you in the valleys and on the mountaintops, yet we admit that too often our eyes are blind to your presence. Too often our ears are deaf to your call. When you reach out to us through the cries of the hungry and homeless, too often our hearts shrink from your touch. Forgive us, we pray, and set us free to love and serve. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let us hear these words of grace. Persistently, patiently, lovingly, God pours out grace and joy into our lives, healing our brokenness, forgiving our sin. Loved, we are sent to love. Forgiven, we are freed to forgive. Graced, we can offer our gifts to everyone we meet. Thanks be to God. Amen. Offering the peace of Christ is a traditional liturgical act, often following a prayer of confession. It refers to reconciliation, unity, and the sharing of God's grace with one another. Let us offer reconciliation, unity, and the sharing of God's grace as we offer the peace of Christ to each other. The peace of Christ be with you.
Hello and good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, and I'm reading in chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you or to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it out. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today, I'd like to try something just a little bit different. Let me share with you how this particular message came together. Some of these steps work and apply, and I apply Sunday by Sunday. Other weeks, I find I'm led down different rabbit holes. On Sunday evening, I will often look at the recommended scripture reading for the next week's service. I most often choose the gospel lesson. The suggested gospel reading for today, the last Sunday before Lent, it was Matthew 17, 1-9. That reading describes the transfiguration of Jesus, which my resources speak of a profoundly unbelievable event in the gospel narrative where Jesus' mortal appearance is temporarily replaced by his divine heavenly glory. Taking Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, Jesus is transformed his face shining like the sun, and his clothing becoming dazzling white. A voice from a cloud confirms Jesus as God's beloved Son. Jesus tells the disciples to keep this vision a secret until his resurrection. It is an important event which confirms his identity as the Son of God, marking a significant moment in his ministry. That word, unbelievable, unlocks the title for my sermon. I decide my sermon title will be Uskumatu, Beyond Belief. And let me explain the source of that word, Uskumatu. When Keith and I were serving Rundle United Church in Banff, we opened our manse up to young service workers who were having difficulty finding homes. One of them, Blondine, a native of France, had spent some time as an exchange student in Estonia. And she introduced us to the Estonian word, Uskumatu, which she said should be pronounced like this. The intake of a deep breath, Uska, followed by a sharp exhale of Matu. Let's try it together. Uska, Matu. One more time. Uska, Matu. The English translation of Uskumatu is beyond belief. In other words, unbelievable. So I head down a different rabbit hole and decide that on this, the last Sunday before Lent, our last Sunday to eat, drink, and be merry before Easter, we would be better served by hearing John's gospel story of the wedding at Cana, a story which also kicks off Jesus' ministry, turning water into wine, an act which also confirms his identity as the Son of God, albeit in a very public way. Water into wine, Uskumatu. But let's get on with the wedding. Good stuff is about to happen, but not right away. Weddings are accidents waiting for things to happen. Something almost always goes wrong. And something is going wrong at this wedding in Cana in Galilee. In those days, the bride and groom celebrated the marriage not with a honeymoon, but with a 7-day wedding feast at the groom's home. And this particular celebration is in trouble because the wine is giving out before the party is over. The situation constitutes a crisis for the family who shoulder the responsibility of hospitality. Of all the guests that notice what is wrong, it is the mother of Jesus. And Jesus is off somewhere, as he often does, hovering in the background, and seems content to remain in the background. His mother, though, tells him to do something, and he responds by telling her, "I don't do parlor jokes and tricks." When his mother tells the servants to do whatever Jesus says, Jesus realizes he might as well start his ministry. And he performs one of his most understood mighty acts. It is really the first of his signs or miracles. John's gospel calls them signs. "Fill the jars with water. Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward," he says. "The best wine is now served to keep the party going." The servants are the ones who know what has happened. The steward is amazed, and we're told that the disciples believed in Jesus. How's that for a happy ending? The joyous feast has been saved. Uskumatu, beyond belief. Sometimes us church folk forget that Jesus once attended this wedding feast and started his ministry by saying yes to simply gladness and joy. Prompted by his mother, Jesus turns water into wine to point the guests and to point us to, the ones who hear the story now. Turns us towards God, who loves to hear the laughter of people celebrating people. Sometimes the church has forgotten to live the joy of such happiness, of such a revelation. But the Cana story tells us that Jesus served a God who put joy into life, who thinks it is worth a miracle to keep the party going as we celebrate the relationships that fill our lives to overflowing. God doesn't want our religion to be so holy that there is no room left for happiness. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus celebrated people. People getting married, people being healed of disease and deformity, people enjoying meals together. Jesus carried a spirit of celebration with him wherever he went as he proclaimed a God of mercy and peace and joy. And this feast at Cana is still a sign to the church that we're called to rejoice as the people of God and to toast the world with the amazing good news of grace we have received. Uskamitu, beyond belief. So let the dancing and the celebration resume. The turning of water into wine is meant to be transformative, to point us to something beyond ourselves, just as road signs alert us to something that lies ahead of us or before us. And these acts of transformation are intended to change the way we look at the world. The story of the wedding at Cana was intended to be transformative, to change the way the guests looked at the world. Turning water into wine points us to something far more valuable than the wine, though. As fine as that wine may be, this sign of wine, water into wine, points us to a place of abundant grace where all are equal and loved equally. And what does God's grace taste like? Grace, unconditional love, tastes like the finest wine when you're expecting the cheap stuff. Uskamitu, beyond belief, unbelievable. And finally, it always helps when a message has a modern story that connects us in some way to the theme of day. Abundant wine, abundant grace, abundant life. Her name was Tracy Cameron, and she and her fiancé, Mark, were to be married at Rundle United Church while I was serving as the minister there. Tracy was a member of our National Double Sculls rowing team, and her long list of accomplishments and medal included a bronze medal in the 2008 Olympics and a gold medal in the 2010 World Championships. Despite all of her accomplishments, she was probably the easiest going bride I have ever met, except, of course, for my wife, Keitha. After the rehearsal, Tracy asked if we could all chat, and I said, of course. She explained that her fiancé's sister and boyfriend had traveled from Holland, and they'd decided on their trip to get married in Banff, and could I help them get that done? And I said, of course. They had a marriage license, but no one knew of their plan for marriage except Tracy and Mark, who were being married the next afternoon. Tracy, Mark, and I drew up a plan, and we were all sworn to secrecy. They would inform the engaged couple of how they were to be married. The wedding for Tracy and Mark went smoothly. They kissed and held hands to the applause of the church. I then announced that when there's a marriage at Rundle United Church, we always offer a two-for-one deal. And if there was another couple who wished to get married here today, they were to rise and come forward. Alice, who was beside her mum, stepped into the aisle, as did Eric from the opposite aisle. There was a twitter of laughter running through the church until folks realized this was for real. Mums cried and hugged, and Alice and Eric came forward and were married, with Tracy and Mark serving as bridesmaid and best man. A couple willing to share their most special day with another couple. Abundant love and grace flowing through the church that day. Uskamitu, beyond belief. And I also just read this week that Tracy, following her wedding, had been named to Canada's rowing team for the 2012 Olympics. And she chose to give up her earned spot to another younger up-and-coming rower, beyond belief. God's signs, Jesus' signs and stories point us to the abundant love and grace of God. We're not called to perform miracles, just to love God, our neighbors, as we love ourselves. Love in ways that allow us to be the finest wine in a world that is being conditioned to expect only the watered-down stuff. Unbelievable. Uskamatu. May love, tangible and expressive, transform you. Joy, holy and earthy, uplift you. And peace of heart, home and community, be within you always. Amen. As always, today we gather to offer the prayers of the people. This week in particular, we find ourselves feeling what I describe as a little off kilter as we remember the community and the people of the Tumbler Ridge area. I found a little prayer in my top desk where I keep it that I wrote in 2022. Listen to these words as we move into a prayer for finding God in the midst of extremes, as we begin to enter Lent as well. Loving God, I'm feeling a little off kilter with the world today. Could be the rain, the pain, the stain of a world spiraling on an axis, weakened by the weight of burdens not asked for, yet borne by you. And I wonder how you do it, God, for my burdens are light, my stumbles are not falls, and my privilege lifts me above much of the fray. Still I care, and that is a good thing to wake with this morning, a good conversation starter. Amen. A prayer for finding God in the midst of extremes. This prayer has been prepared by Reverend Sarah R. Speed from one of the Presbyterian churches in the United States that I follow. I also offer this based on some experience I had in 1999 with a school shooting in Tabor, the last high school shooting where Jason Lang lost his life. And his father was Reverend Lang, an Anglican church in Tabor. Tabor was part of our regional United Church group, and I was part of a group that tried to find ways to help people through that school shooting. Reverend Lang, in his prayers, asked God for mercy on this broken society and all the hurting people. And he prayed for the shooter, a 14-year-old boy. Reverend Lang prayed, "Lord God, he needs you so badly." Let us offer our prayer to this God that we know we need so badly. Holy God, your invitation is simple. You lean in close, you say our name. With joy in your voice, you invite us to follow. But the noise of this world is distracting and we're afraid. So we get stuck somewhere in between grief and despair. Today, many of us feel immobilized by overwhelm and find it difficult to discern your voice in the midst of it all. God, help us to carry the load of those things that weigh us down, that keep us divided, angry, tired, or distracted. Help us to lay those things before you now. We do that in the period of silence which follows. Gracious God, we share the extremes that make us feel divided in this world. God, help us to name the complexity of the world around us with the hope that we can find compassion and nuance in our journey toward becoming your beloved community. God, may we find you in every messy middle. May we know that the world is bigger than two sides. May we trust that we are made in your image and therefore contain multitudes. We are a part of a vast number of ordinary people, often without power or influence. Loving God, may we move through this world with an open heart, a curious mind, and with the confidence that we do not go alone. Amen.
Friends, for all the ways that you contribute to the work of God here at St. Stephen's, We really are grateful. Would you pray with me over the gifts given this week to further God's kingdom? Generous God, we marvel at your lavish gifts to us, life and breath, food and shelter, opportunities for work and play, and most especially, hope and peace in Christ. We now pledge ourselves to mirror and reflect the glory of your self-giving love, to continue in the pattern of generosity we see perfectly revealed in Christ, through whom we pray. Amen.
The Spirit of God is upon you and has anointed you. You are the salt of the earth, and you bring light into the world. You are not too young or too old. You are not too rich or too needy to bring good news to the impoverished, to give a hand to the brokenhearted, and to live out freedom and pardon through the gifts you have been given. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, "You are known, you are loved, you are enough." Amen.
Strength and shield,
strength and shield, be thou still.